On Good Friday, I thought I'd give you a little bit of a devotion. Hopefully, we're all kind of confined at home looking for things to do, and all there is on TV are repeats. And so it'd be a good idea to center our attention on the fact of Good Friday, even though when we look at it, Good Friday is a problem. I mean, first of all, there's the name. I mean, we call it good. I mean, no one could call it good then. I mean, then there's what happened. They killed Jesus. Everything had looked so different on Palm Sunday. The crowds cheered. Even Monday and Tuesday were very different from Friday. I mean, Jesus took charge. He cleared the temple and confounded his adversaries. Even the events of Wednesday and Thursday have their share of good times and warm feelings. Jesus and his friends shared a family Passover together. But everything changed on Friday. Good Friday is a problem. And the big problem is the cross. Many people like the teachings of Jesus, his miracles, astounded and attracted. Everyone likes the stories of his good deeds and loving example. I mean, that's part of the Christian message. But it's not the heart of it. We preach Christ and him crucified, the Bible declares. We glory in the cross, we sing. Good Friday is the day of the cross. I mean, Matthew devotes 8 of his 28 chapters to the last week of Jesus' 33-year life. Mark 6 of 16, Luke 6 of 24. John uses almost half of his gospel to tell the story of the last 7 days of Jesus' life. If we don't grasp the importance of Holy Week, then we don't understand Jesus. As much as we might wish otherwise, we can't have Holy Week without Good Friday. Unless you struggle with the problem of Good Friday, you won't appreciate the victory of Easter Sunday. And so I invite you to consider Good Friday through the lens of a classic line from what might well be one of our time's most famous sermons. Tony Campolo is a short, round, ball, fast-talking Italian-American, 84 years old, a sociology professor at Eastern College in Philadelphia. And Time magazine listed him as one of America's great preachers. His fame as a preacher is due in large measure to this one sermon. Campolo says his sermon was inspired by one that he heard from a preacher of an African-American church that he attended when he traveled. And Tony Campolo insisted that we will never understand Good Friday unless you remember what happens next. And Campolo's sermon is entitled, It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Now, I've never heard his sermon. I've read pieces of it. And here's the idea. Friday was a long day. I mean, it actually started the night before. One event led nonstop to another. And after the meal in the upper room, Jesus and his men went to a secluded spot on the Mount of Olives. Jesus prayed late into the night. His men tried to join him, but the late hour and the hectic schedule overtook them. They fell asleep. And suddenly, in the middle of the night, probably in the wee hours of the morning, the disciples awoke to shouts and clanging of steel, of swords and shields. At first, they probably thought it was a dream, but it wasn't. The next few hours were a whirl of activity. Soldiers arrested Jesus. They hauled him before the Jewish high priest. Before the sun rose, a special call meeting of the Jewish council interrogated him. Witnesses said that they had heard Jesus blaspheme the name of God and the holy temple. In fact, they said he had threatened to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. All of the charges were false. In fact, the witnesses had been paid to offer their testimony. All of that was beside the point because the whole early morning secret trial process was illegal from start to finish. But Jesus never protested. He didn't strike back. He didn't talk back. Like a lamb before the shearer and the sheep before the slaughter, he didn't say a word. There was nothing good about the way Friday started. I bet you've had some days like that. You woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Everything seemed to go wrong. The whole world seems out to get you. And you've been lied to and lied about. And maybe it was at work or even at home. And you get blamed. The fact that yet you had tried to do what was right seemed to, you know, to not matter. Somebody still accused you. You weren't allowed to explain. And when you face days like that, remember, you're not the first, and you certainly won't be the last. Remember Jesus and Good Friday, as Peter would later announce, men disowned him, men killed him, but God raised him from the dead. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. The worst part of Good Friday for Jesus wasn't what his adversaries did. I mean, a person can handle that. You expect it from your enemies. Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane because a friend, one of his very own, betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a common slave. Judas turned against him. He stepped out of the crowd pretending to greet Jesus. He gave him a hug and a kiss on the cheek. And the very fact or the very act of his friendship turned into an act of treachery. How critical can you get? Then the other friends turn tail and run at the very first sign of trouble. Even Peter, who had vowed his undying devotion to Jesus hours before, would before morning repeatedly claim that he didn't even know Jesus. On Friday, Jesus stood alone, falsely accused, betrayed, and abandoned. Maybe that's happened to you. Maybe you found out that all of the nice things and the warm words of your friends were nothing more than a cynical attempt to get on your good side. You know how much it hurts to have a friend turn against you. Maybe it was nothing more than refusing to help when you needed it. Maybe it was worse. Maybe you found out that gossip and rumors came from the lips of somebody you trusted. Betrayal hurts. And when that happens, think of Jesus in Good Friday. Remember, it may be Friday, but Sunday's coming. And by sunrise on Jesus last Friday, the pace quickened. The betrayal, the phony trial, the false accusation soon turned physical. Soldiers mocked him. They roughed him up for sport. They pressed a makeshift crown of thorns on his head. And the blood flows down his brow. They laugh. They parade him to Pilate's palace and in a purple robe. Some king you are, they taunt. They didn't stop with words that Friday morning. Pilate knew the charges were trumped up. But to satisfy the officials, he orders his soldiers to beat Jesus. And Roman soldiers had just the tool to do it. The Roman cat of nine tails was a long leather whip. The multiple ends were embedded with nails and pieces of bone and glass. 39 times the soldiers laid into Jesus' back with that whip. Flesh turned to hamburger. The pain was unimaginable. It probably seemed like it would never end. It was Friday. But Sunday's coming. And when the beating stopped, the real bad stuff began. Crucify him, the crowds cried. The fickle crowd even chose Barabbas, a murderer and a thief, over Jesus. I mean, most of you heard the story often enough to know that crucifixion was not a pretty picture. Remember the furor that greeted Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ. Critics objected to the violence and the blood. Most didn't understand the reality. Crucifixion wasn't just an execution. It was public torture. And at 9 o'clock that Friday morning, the soldiers spread-eagled Jesus against a pole. They tied him to the wood, and then they drove iron spikes through his hands and feet, lifted the beam and dropped it into a hole. For 6 hours, 6 long, hot hours, Jesus hung there, suspended between heaven and earth, dying minute by minute, hour by hour. And at his feet, soldiers continued to the taunt. The crowds jeered. His mother and friends stood back in horror, their hearts broken. At noon on Friday, the sky over Jerusalem turned strangely dark. The earth shook. A thief on the next cross cried out, "Remember me when you come to your throne." Soldiers offered Jesus a drink mixed with a painkiller, and he declines it. And Jesus cries out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And on that Friday, for the first time in his life, Jesus experiences separation from the Heavenly Father. He knew no one else there did. This execution may have been at the hands of wicked men, but it was according to the plan of heaven. He was innocent. No one else was. It was not for his sins that he was on that cross. It was for yours and for my sins. And ultimately, it was not Roman soldiers or conniving politicians who crucified Jesus. When Mel Gibson filmed the last 12 hours of Jesus' life, The Passion of the Christ, he wanted that message to come through loud and clear. Gibson said he wanted viewers to know that we are all responsible for Christ's death. The Bible explains it this way. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You do understand that, don't you? Some people don't. Evangelist D.M. Stearns was preaching in Philadelphia. At the close of the service, a stranger came up to him and said, I don't like the way you spoke about the cross. I think that instead of emphasizing the death of Christ, it would be far better to preach Jesus, the teacher and example. Stearns replied, "If I presented Christ in that way, would you be willing to follow him?" "I certainly would," said the stranger without hesitation. "All right then," said the preacher. "Let's take the first step. He had no sin. Can you claim that for yourself?" "Of course not," protested the man. I'm not perfect. I never said it was." Stearns replied, "Then your greatest need is to have a Savior, not an example." Sometimes crucifixion could last for days, but not on this Friday. At 3 o'clock, Jesus declares, "It is finished," and he breathed his last. The soldiers remove his body. Friends carry him away to a borrowed tomb. They hurriedly wrap the body. They intended to finish the proper burial once the Jewish Sabbath was over. The officials seal the entrance. They post a guard. They didn't want any trouble. It was Friday. And Friday ended in death. The disciples were distraught, dejected, and grief-stricken. I mean, anyone who has buried a loved one or a friend knows the feeling. You stand at the grave, time stands still. It all seems like a bad dream. You pray to wake up and find everything back the way it was before. But you know better. Death and the grave cast a shadow over everything. You've been there. That's a good time to think of Good Friday. Remember, Jesus was there. It was Friday. But Sunday's coming. We call it Good Friday. We call it that because Sunday came. If it hadn't, there would have been nothing good about it. A man walking down the street when he stopped and to look in a store window containing a Good Friday display. A beautiful painting of the crucifixion hung in the center of the window. The man wasn't particularly religious, but he was kind of spellbound by the painting. He suddenly became aware of a young boy at his side, and he could tell by the expression on the lad's face that he too was gripped by the painting. Touching the boy on the shoulder, the man said, "Son, what does it mean?" "Don't you know?" he answered, his face full of marvel at this man's ignorance. "That there man is Jesus, and them others is Roman soldiers, and the woman what's crying is his mother." And he added, "They killed him." The man had other things that he had to do, and so he turned and walked away. Partway down the block, he heard footsteps on the street running behind him, and it was the boy. And the boy was out of breath, and he exclaimed, "Say, sir, I forgot to tell you." He rose again. "It's Friday, but Sunday is coming."
It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter is asleep. Judas is betraying. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. They don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying. Peter is denying. But they don't know that Sundays are coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scar. They crown him with thorns. But they don't know that Sundays come. It's Friday. See Jesus walking to Calvary, his blood dripping, his body stumbling, and his spirit's burdened. But you see, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The world's winning. People are sinning, and evil's grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers nailed my Savior's hands to the cross. They nailed my Savior's feet to the cross. And then they raised him up next to criminals. It's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king. And the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved. But they don't know it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross, feeling forsaken by his Father, left alone and dying. Can nobody save him? Oh, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, the earth trembles, the sky grows dark, my King yields his spirit. It's Friday, hope is lost, death has won, sin has conquered, and Satan's just a laugh. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard, and a rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It is only Friday. Sunday is a coming.
I'm sure as we look at that, we wince. As we listen to the betrayal by S.M. Lockridge, we kind of want to pull back in disgust. But folks, that's what it cost. That's what it cost Jesus to save us from our sins. And so as we look at this being Good Friday, as we said, the good came out of the fact that Sunday's coming. And I just pray that each of us realize that our commitment should be strong because of the tremendous price that Jesus paid to take away our sins. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for that tremendous price that you paid for us. And certainly as we look at this, we wince. We see the excruciating and the ignominious death that Jesus died and realize that it was for me. Each of us can say for me, realizing that that's the reason that he went to the cross. But we thank you that Sunday came and we celebrate the resurrection. So bless us, Father, and thank you so much for your amazing, amazing love for us, that you would do this for us. In Jesus' name, amen.